Hello.
And welcome back to the Bible Study Girl podcast. This is Sarita, but you may know me as Bible Study Girl. And the first hearty welcome you heard was from the executive producer of this podcast, Bible Study Brother.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, good people? It is I, Bible Study Brother, but I'm also known as Icarus Gray over at Gray Area Anime. But this right here is the most wonderful podcast of your day. And as my sister likes to say, we are not just brother and sister in Christ. We are brother and sister in real life. Same mama, all that stuff, you know.
We are siblings. Hello, brother. How's your day been?
Eventful.
Mine too. I think we are on the same page when it comes to that. The events just keep coming. Amen.
They do. Man. Yo, it's crazy. Kids, am I right?
Am I right? I'm really excited about what we're doing today because you have no idea what's about to go down. And I think that's what makes these episodes more interesting. Of course, it's certainly been planned. Bible Study Brother just has no idea what's going down today. But before we get into today's topic, let's pull up that emotion wheel and talk about our feelings. How are you feeling this week so far?
Pretty good.
Okay, I was gonna say you lost our emotion wheel because
I just have to give me 2 seconds. Like, there's a little bit of adjusting here because I gotta be able to click the thing.
Now, my brother has all the tabs open. That's the beautiful thing about screen sharing. You get to see how someone organizes their life. And based on the organization.
I have 7 tabs open. I normally only have to a maximum of 4. Some of these I need to close because I can't do anything with them. But the emotion wheel is up, sis. How are you feeling?
Oh, you want me to go first? Okay. I will say that I am maybe a little bit displeased, confused. But even with that going on, I think I have some parts of me that are hopeful.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I am overwhelmed while also jubilant. Mm-hmm. I think overwhelmed is on here. I'm pretty sure it is.
Because I think that perfectly describes how I can feel and how I am feeling at times. So, yeah.
It's a very strange thing. I'm also, there's a bit of grief, but it's just in, you hear people say it all the time about how fast kids grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I have been very intentional, so intentional about being in the moment. But those moments go by when you're in them much faster.
They certainly do. I was looking at a picture of Peanut from May. I don't know. I was looking through my photos and I was like, oh my gosh, she's changed so much.
Yeah, like 2 full out teeth. Like, she doesn't cry the same. She doesn't talk the same. She's like standing. And so that's why it's like there's a grief because she goes through all of these phases. So by the time you get used to a phase, you're in the next one.
Right.
And so that's where it's like jubilant, but also overwhelmed and grieving the growth of like, oh, man, you're getting a little bit more independent. You know, like, you didn't need me really today. And that's crazy.
I mean, I get that. And I've certainly seen you struggling with that because I'm like, let that baby be great and do what she needs to do. Yeah. I'm glad she's a big girl. But I understand because the time is going by very quickly. It doesn't seem like it's almost been a year, but it's
nope. That's the part that I was, we were just talking to some people at our church that were in the centering class that we had, which was crazy. because I think we didn't even realize we went to the same church until about halfway through or whatever the case may be. But I was just like, you know, I know they say time goes by fast, but we're almost to a year.
Right. Like, it's gone by incredibly fast. Incredibly fast.
Yeah.
She does not look like the same baby anymore. She's a big girl. She's growing.
No. And even though, like, by most people's standards, she's petite or whatever the case may be, I'm like, bro, if only you knew, like, how much bigger for us she is. Like, we're out of the, you know, she fit on my entire forearm. That's where she fit. Then when she got over that a little bit, it's like, oh, well, this is a little difficult. And now it's like, no, there's no point in trying to hold you the same. Like, I can't do that at all. Like, you're a solid baby, the type of baby that our family members will be throwing around like a rag doll, because they can apparently survive. And I believe they can.
They can. The babies can certainly handle it. Can we? Can we? Yeah. All right, brother. I don't know about you, but I am ready for you to jump into our scripture for the week.
All right, let's do the thing. This is going to be Psalms chapter 107, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things.
So the awesome thing to me is that you didn't even know what we were talking about today. But that little bit of discussion that we just had really, I think, to me, it's confirmation that we're on the right track with today's subject. Mm-hmm. So about a month ago, I was asked to lead a young adult Bible study class, not like long term, but just to teach on a subject. Mm-hmm. And the verse for the series that they are using is Psalms 107, which 107:9, which is that last verse Bible study brother read, which says, for he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. That's me reading it from the New King James Version. What version did you read it from, brother?
ESV.
Okay. What is that, English Standard Version?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we all have our preferred versions of the Bible that we read, but the whole meat of the brunch, it's called the Fill Me Up Brunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me some verses that I could discuss for that first segment, but I started studying Psalms 107:9, and we know that verses don't live alone, they don't live in isolation. I mean, that's just like you picking up at this point in the Bible Study Girl podcast series. There's so much history that's gone on before this moment that if you haven't listened to us, you don't know. And so that's why when I'm studying the scriptures or studying the Bible, I like to get a better understanding. And so even though they had different verses for me to talk about in the first session, I felt led that if your whole series is coming from this one verse, like, let's understand the context that this verse was pulled out of, you know, because it sounds good and it's catchy. But like, what does it mean? And
for random context of these random moments that we have. So I'm in my office and I have the window open. It's still sunlight out here. And I see my wife and the baby walk by. And she has on her little jacket that my wife has found. And I'm just like, come on, man. What are we doing? Come on.
Because she's a big girl.
Yeah. What is this? God, why? Why?
She's growing up as she should be. So anyway, verses don't stand alone. They have context to them, just like you and I don't stand alone and our stories don't stand alone. Like, this one podcast does not fully encompass who we are. So while I was studying to teach, like I got wrapped up, caught up in the verses that led up to verse 9. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what I talked about in the first session. And it's called the Fill Me Up Brunch. One of the first questions I asked everybody there was, so how full are you personally? Like on a scale of, like, let's say you're driving a car. Are you one, like you are pulled over to the side of the road because you don't have any gas? Or are you like at a 10, you're zooming down the road full of energy, full of vigor and voom, vigor and voom is not it. Vigor and zeal, I think is the word I wanted.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I want to say about a 6 or 7. So I know I have enough in me to get to where I need to go. On a day where it's a 7, I know I can get everywhere I need to go. On days where it's a 6, I can be a little, Lot's wife, and I'm kind of looking back and trying to like, how much of these things can I do? Like, I have enough, because you're over half, you know, but it's like you're kind of trying to prepare in your mind for what could possibly be on the road or what could be coming up for you, right? So somewhere in the middle of that, so maybe like a 6.5 or something like that, to where it's like I don't have to worry, but at the same time, I'm a little worried.
Okay. So let me, so again, I told you, I talked about this, or we did this Bible study with a group of young adults. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say that you are a young adult. You are in the young adult age.
Yeah.
When we polled the young adults in the room, these are all people that are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
There was one lady there who said she was not a Christian. She was not saved. And, we'll talk about that in just a second, but of the Christians in the room that were polled, like on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think they were? Like the young adults of, this is a small sample size, because it's not, so it's not saying that all young adults. I feel
like young adults will say something like 8.
Really?
Like on average 8. Or if this newer generation, I could also see them. So my guess is on either end of the spectrum. So like for the energized youth, an 8, before like you said, the lady that you know, is not a believer.
Well, she wasn't. So we're taking her thoughts out of the poll, because we're gonna talk about it separately.
Well, her thoughts. I just mean, but like as the conduit for the other type of kid. So I'm going to like two different young adult places.
You can go through all of that, brother, and I want you to give me your average, like, because all I did was it was an electronic like poll, and I'll tell you what the average was of the response.
I got 8, and then I got 5 as a backup.
Like, you can average those two numbers.
No, I'm not. You can go with 8. It's just know, okay, in my 8. Head.
Okay.
I'm keeping 8. Something back in my head.
He won't just guess. Okay, so 8 is your guess. And you would be wrong. The average young adult felt the way you feel. The average number I got was a 6.8.
Okay. I mean, my second number was 5.
Yeah, but I really wanted you to stand firm on something. You know, you were. I don't like it. The Lord don't like lukewarm.
I wasn't lukewarm. I was speaking to like somebody coming in. Here's why I said what I said. So, in regards to like a new Christian in the faith, like the new Christians can be very at an 8, young adult or not. Because, you know, you're on fire for Jesus. Like,
right.
You believe in him, things will turn around. When you're a little bit more seasoned, you end up in that 6 and 5. Like, because there is a, and not even so much more seasoned, there's a life been life in recently, especially in our age range of young adults, the 30 to 50. Like, because we've been through a lot in these last 20. It's been something. So you experience life from a longing, because you want, you just tired. I'm tired, boss. I'm tired.
You're just tired. Yeah. So what you said is exactly how I feel about it. I feel like newer Christians are probably more excited. I would say newer Christians are probably on a 10, honestly, because, you know, you are on that high and you want everybody to be saved. So what I found interesting was the one woman that was there that was not saved. She was astonished. She was like, but y'all are Christians. She was like, everybody was so nice to me today. I feel like everybody in here should be on a 10. Don't you think that's so interesting?
Oh, yeah,
that because
that's the logo.
Right. Because we follow Christ, we should be on a 10. What's your thought and what's your take on that perspective?
Reality is you are never on a 10, because if you are on a 10, that means you somewhere think that you don't need God.
Do you think you can be on a 10 with God? And that's why you have that 10 mentality? Because, you know, it's not your power that you're existing in. It's His. So I'm on go.
I don't think so. I think that, like, because life is going to life. At some point, you're going to hit a curve or something. Like, there is a partnership and you need to, we will always have the need for. And I think somebody that's at a 10, that's at a full, at least by how I'm thinking about it, you can get caught up in thinking you don't need.
Okay. Like, I was just curious. I don't have a strong, because my personal testimony is 10 where for me.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so that's why I was asking you, but I just thought it was interesting that for her, from the outside looking in, it's like, well, all of y'all should be on 10s and everybody had a great attitude today. So I don't understand why everybody's response was not 10. That was just interesting to her. And it was interesting to me. So I thought it would be something interesting for us to
talk
about.
That's the perfect Christian mindset, though. That's the thought that, like, we are just like, yeah, once we said, yeah, life just, like, we don't understand the walk. And I, you know, that's a lot of why we do this podcast. Like, of course you don't understand that there's a walk. Of course you don't understand that I have bad days. Of course you don't understand that all of these things, because what's probably been preached or talked to you is a transformation in such a way, like when you are a new being in Christ, you are, you know, you are created anew when you accept Him. We take that as almost like, to me, being in heaven, or outsiders take it that way, when we say, you know, you will cry no more and there's no more sickness, all of these things, you think there's an absence, right? And I tell them all the time, I'm like, the reason Jesus wept is more than just the first little scripture we get told. Is like always a reminder that He felt emotions too. There was the roller coaster of all of this. There's the Father, hey, take this from me, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Forgive them, for they know not what they, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the humanity in the fact that He is, you know, God and Christ personified in the Holy Trinity. And that's, we just have bad, I think, representation and a bad spokesperson for the fact that the walk is not easy, man. Like, no matter if you think about the disciples or David or whoever, however they talk to you about these people, when you read the scriptures, like even Psalms, like there are times where it's like, if I told you, okay, this is a dope song, ain't it? You want to know where he wrote it? In a cave while he was being chased by an army.
I think some of the best music, and like you said, I was going to get into that, because I think you did a Bible study once for us from the book of Psalms. But this is a book of worship. It's a hymn book. These are the hits of Jerusalem. Like, we will forever sing these songs. So and I'm gonna get into that a little bit more in a second. But I just wanted to touch base with you and kind of see where you were thinking spiritually. So let me be open and honest. When I was asked to teach the Bible study.
You want me to play the character of you real quick? Because I can do it. Because I know what your thing was.
No, I don't
think there's not a little bit of time. I don't really think that that's something I want to do. That's a big commitment. I just give me some time to allow the Lord to do some work on me, to fill me up so I can pour back into people. Is that in the ballpark?
It's ballpark-ish. My thought was, It wasn't that dramatic. My thought was, I said yes. I said I would do it. But my thought was, how can I talk to people about being full when I'm so empty? Because your number was... Your number was like a 6-something. I was at a 2, like getting ready to coast to the side of the road. Like, I went on 1 yet, but it's like... Ooh, the light is blinking. Do you hear me?
Ma'am. Maybe because yeah. Okay. Ooh, I got questions.
I admire where you are, but I'm just being honest. My light was blinking.
Explain.
I'm going to tell you. I have a lot going on. And as much as I pray, mm-hmm. or have time to study, mm-hmm. I'm being drained. It's like I have a hole in my gas tank. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to go forward, mm-hmm. but it's like I need to get this oil leak fixed or whatever is going on, because I am tired. I'm exhausted. I don't have anything really that I can offer anybody right now, because I'm worn down. And I will say part of it is because you talked about grief, and I think I don't know if I've talked about grief on this podcast. Have I talked about like the grief I've experienced since I've been married?
No, we hadn't. We were gonna have an episode on that, because there's a lot of changes I've been to. What's crazy,
I'm not even talking about like the people that we've lost in our family, right? That's right. Certainly added to my grief in marriage. But I think I was talking to Kanae about this, like, offline in a very real conversation. There's a joy and a beauty to marriage. But when you've been single for as long as I have, I've had to grieve a lot of things. Like, honestly, like, the life I had before is no more. And as a woman, when you get married, you leave and you cleave. Doesn't mean you don't love your family of origin, but it's a new reality, because my first priority now is my immediate family, when I've spent so many years being entwined with our family. And that's a grief process for me. Like, yes, I love my husband, I love my children, but like, this is a whole new world. And like you were talking about grieving your baby growing up, like it's a great thing that she's growing up, and but it's like, but look back there. You know what I mean? Like,
come back. You know, it's
right.
It's,
we just had those moments. So not only am I processing that, but in marriage, you're already dying to yourself every day for Christ. But in marriage, that's add times 2,000
times a million.
Right.
And dog, I'm almost at a 10 piece. I'll be at a 10 piece in 2027 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And the crazy portion about that is like, so until we moved up here, there was like the leaving and cleaving for either side was just difficult, right?
Right.
And so that's why when I was like moving, I was so excited. Because I'm like, we have to make the decisions that we want to make for us. We get to experience stuff together or whatever. And then subsequently, we only got like a month initially of that before that got changed to, you know, trying to also help my lovely little sister, like, who wanted to move at the same time that we did, to establish. Right. And so that was hard for me to kind of work these things out. But the harder part, I think, of what you're getting at is, like, you don't realize how much you have to change and are going to change.
You do not. I didn't. I thought I understood it. Understood it in theory, but the walking through it, the journeying of it has been extremely difficult for me. And again, it's not that I don't love my husband. It's not that I don't love my children. And I was telling my husband tonight, like, this is what I prayed for. Like, this is what I wanted. And it's hard. Like, so I'm grieving that. Not only am I grieving that, but like, I'm grieving family members that have died, you know, died since we've been married. Like, that adds a whole different layer. And then we have other things that are going on that cause a grief process and so many things to grieve. I felt like I'm not qualified for this.
Not at all. And our
'Cause
like
you're talking to the wrong person if you want me to talk to some people about how to have joy and how to be
Nope.
full when everything is draining me,
You're talking to
right?
the white person because that you don't need to me. Like, if you need encouragement when you're already on 10, cool. It's very easy to get that. There's music for you, brother. There's all kinds of things for you. But the people that need it is the people that said two, like you, who need a reminder that the two, and like I said earlier, you are you in a place where you don't feel like you're seeking him, like at
Me
all?
personally?
Yes.
Oh no, I am yet seeking the Lord. Amen.
Okay.
Constantly, every day
So,
on a daily basis, I am praying, "Hello, Heavenly Father, knock, knock, knock. It's
but
your
that's what
child."
you need, because life is not going to always be a 10. It doesn't matter, like, wherever your two is, like, your two is currently, and that's why I was like trying to figure, like, you're closer to me than you think. We just view the numbers differently, right? Because I think I'm at a six and all of that because I'm still knowing that he has his hand on my life, regardless of what's going on. Like, I feel everything that's going on. I'm tired of it, I'm sick of it. Like this car, if any in any other condition, like I do feel like I'm on the side of the road, but I'm in my what I think is like a six is when you know Jesus, take the wheel, like, and I'm in the passenger seat. I'm just having that, like, you remember that there's a meme thing that I like sent you or you sent me about this girl. I was like, ah, okay, I guess we're not getting off there. I
Yes,
want a snack.
and she
Like,
was crying.
like that's where we, you know what I'm saying? That's the six to me. Like, it is going absolutely bonkers, but you drive it, and that, and like, I feel much safer now. I feel like a eight or something like that is not only trusting, but being able to like follow. Like, he was like, okay, you can drive because you're going with me. Like, you're not being like, ooh, why do we get off here? That's more like an eight. Like, a 10 to me is just full on, you are new in the faith, you ain't got no tribulations or trials. Two to me is
To
more like
you.
you about to walk off. Like,
Oh, well, okay. I feel like my number is accurate. Like,
so
'cause
you
this
finna
ain't
walk
working.
off?
I listen, 'cause clearly this is not working. Okay,
Oh,
amen.
good.
'Cause I'm
Okay.
doing the things. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying?
But oh,
I'm doing the things.
okay, I see it. I
But I
see it.
will. But I will say, and I think that's why the Lord had me like settle with this, because in this Psalms from 107 verse 1 all the way to verse 9, the Israelites go from distress. It's all messed up in the, well, first they start off with some praise. They're like verses 1 through 2, they're like, "Ooh, Jesus, you are who you said you are. You know, thank you, Lord. You're so good." They get from the praise to the distress, which is where I was
And the
living. You
situations, like,
hear
it's
me?
telling you, like, but
And the situations. Let me, and the situations. But then at the end, they come on back to themselves. So I'm just, the thing I love about Bible study for me personally is that it's real. Like, if you take the time to really sit down with the verses, it'll speak to
Oh, I
your
have a
life
question for you.
specifically. Go ahead.
Okay, so on your journey, where, like, at that two, how close do you think you are to like an exit ramp, a rest station, gas, like, do,
You mean
because
like how close I am to some kind of rescue, to some kind of like
yes.
top off? You were talking about memes. So I think I sent one to somebody. It's like all the random thoughts I have in a day. Like, ooh, you know, just, you go from, oh, so happy to like, this is What in the world, you know, is going on?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wouldn't ever say that I had been like, again, I wasn't on one. I wasn't on the side of the road. So I've gotten reprieves. I've had times where I'm sailing, you know, down the road. Even, you know, we had church the other week and I got prayed for it, and I feel like a lot of the things she said were reminders and confirmation for me from God that, girl, I hear you. You okay? You know, but then I get home and it's like the same guy that was there at the church. Can he come on over here?
So what's crazy is like you're on the, I like to call it, or I'm going to call it Black People E, which is, I see the light. I know how many trips I got back and forth to work before this is a problem. Right. I know how many days I got until I get paid. Like, and if push come to shove, I can put a little fiver or a little 10 in here to get to payday. But, you know, so I can understand that, because that is still, while it's like there's comfort in what you know. But you also know that if nothing changes with what you know, trouble is around the corner. And I mean the most serious of trouble. So I can respect your two now in this mental context. Because I'm like, but, you know, and kind of knowing how close you are and the fact that, like, you have been able to get off the road and get a little bit of gas, you're able to get something to eat, like, the provision hasn't lifted from your life is
oh no, not at all. God's hand has certainly been on my life, and to be quite honest, he's driving, because if I was driving, sis would have pulled off.
This car would have tumbled 12 times.
12 times. So the Lord is certainly driving. He is in the driver's seat. But like I was talking about earlier, like, Psalms is a book of songs, and songs, and you hit on it. Like, these songs were written, sometimes, you know, people that are at their tens, they're full, but quite often the songs that hit the hardest or that make the most impact are the songs that you write when you're going through something or when you come out of the other side of something. And so I like that this song starts off with praise, because to me it's very much kind of like a reflection of the Christian life, that we start off so full and so happy and so full of joy. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of a time when your spiritual tank was like super full? Like, oh my gosh, I am firing literally on all cylinders. And it might have been when you first got saved. I don't know. Or you might have had some moments just throughout your life where you felt like, yeah, this is it. This is a great place to be in. I can tell you that mine, honestly, when I got saved, even though I was 9, that was a high time for me. It was. I had so much faith and hope and belief that my life was going to be different. And at 9, I think I had a different I just had a different mindset. Of course, I had been through some things at 9 that I wouldn't wish on anybody. But being saved made me feel safe. It made me feel clean. And that was something I had been searching for. So for me, that was a high point.
10,
you have your example?
Probably around a couple years, probably after Little Rock Southerners were like, the Little Rock troupe was like formed. So when I'm like kind of over...
Can you explain to people?
Oh, okay, I will.
With the Little Rock,
but I was giving you that the just so you know where I am. But for those of you that don't know, that's when my cousin Tamika had moved to Little Rock, and me, her, my mom, and my sister were pretty much always together doing something.
Yeah, we were a quad.
And so it wasn't early days. So not like while I'm still in high school. I'm thinking, before people started like going to college, or actually no, when people first start going to college, so some of our younger cousins, like when we were trips and food places and Benihana's for birthdays, like spiritually 10-10, because like I'm trusting everything. Like I don't care about being single. I don't care about my job situation all that much. Like, cause I know at the end of the day, we finna go on a trip. We finna go do something fun. We finna eat something great. We finna Iron Chef it up with the entire family. Like there's, it was basically like a renewal from 2008, which I think was like the worst for me in terms of like when I was probably at a two. Like I'm working at a job. I'm getting to spend time with my family, but I'm missing a lot of time with my family. And I'm not really getting to do all the things that I want to do, right? But when we were in that groove of like, yeah, we, me, you, mama finna go on a trip. Me, you, mama, Tamika finna go eat here. That was a 10 for me in terms of like spiritual stuff. Cause like everything was just kind of working out or coming together. However it could. Were there rough times? Sure. But I didn't feel disconnected from him. I just felt like, okay, this is a bad day, but like, it's going to work around kind of thing.
I'll say too, another time I had a real big spiritual fullness high. It's when I was doing Bible studies with the Bible study girls. I think that's kind of in the same era. Super on fire for the Lord. Loving to study, get together. You got another one?
You keep finishing. You finish yours up.
Super on fire for the Lord. Ready to get it done. You know, and God was showing himself faithful like time and time again during that season. Not that he's. And the crazy thing is he's doing the same thing right now. I think my mindset is different, which is what's making it more difficult for me, you know, because I hadn't been through then what I've been through now.
Yeah.
And so I think all those life experiences layered on each other altered my thought process. So
I can understand that for sure.
So I was just, what'd you say?
I said I can understand that for sure, for sure.
Okay. So I was just wondering about the fullness, right? Because the psalm starts off with the fullness, with the praise, like this is the great stuff. And then we get to the meat, their journey. The Israelites are giving their testimony. Maybe this will be the hook of the song. I don't know, because I'm not a songwriter. But they start talking about, in verses 3-7, basically how they've been attacked from every angle, the north, the south, the east, the west. We've been surrounded. And again, when I talk to you about my life and where I am personally in my life, I feel like, oh my gosh, the Israelites are getting me with this hook, baby. This is my test.
Yeah, they get me. we'll go to the one we were close to E. Did we already do that? When we're almost close to E, or one, like a time where we have been, even though that's kind of where you are now.
Well, in the verses 3-7, they're giving their testimony. So in these verses, I would say they are more close to E. In verse 1 and 2, I would say they're closer to 9 and 10 because they got their praise up. In verses 3-7, this is the journey. This is the giving of the testimony, the hook, if you will. So you can give me your down. This is my example of my downtime.
The other random 10 that I thought of was when we first started this podcast, and that's because everything was starting to build back in a lot of ways. I was like, me and my sister are not at war with each other anymore.
Right.
And not only are we not at war, we're working together on this whole podcasting thing that I've been doing. She like has taken my advice on something, and that's insanity because she was already stepping out on what God asked her to do. And then somehow through his confirmation somewhere, she's like, let's try this. But of course my ones are 2005-6. Well, I say that was probably like at least a 3. But the ones are 2008, 2021, 2020, what is this year? 2025, 2024.
Okay.
where I've had a lot of moments where the tank has been refilled, but mm-hmm. in terms of like mentally trying to be able to comprehend things that are going on and do changes without literally just being numb and I ain't even pushing the car. Like I just have an awareness that it's moving somewhere. Like right. I'm not doing nothing to move it because I couldn't. And for better context and reference, those years were the years where I lost very important people to me through death. At least three of those years were. One of those years was just my parents' divorce and trying to manage that by myself because my de facto best friend was living her college life. So
I was.
We saw each other, but it was like weekends and stuff like that. So majority of the time, like the emotional turmoil that I was going through and dealing with, she went around there.
I wasn't. And it's different when you're living in the house in the midst of a divorce. And I was living a whole different life, essentially, trying to get myself off the ground. So, yeah, I can see how those will be ones. So even with all the craziness I was talking earlier,
mm-hmm.
my life has been crazy. But if I did not have my husband in this year that has transpired in our family, I probably wouldn't be moving at all. Like I said, marriage has lots of beautiful benefits. Mm-hmm. And one of those benefits is that when I am low, he can carry me. Literally. That's one of the things I love about him, because he can pick me up.
Hey, yo. We just gone. Shout out to Big Coleman. Big Coleman. That's my dog. That's my big brother, man.
So that is one. It's just been a hard year.
Yeah.
And it's been a very difficult year. And I think it's because grief has been layered on top of grief.
Oh my God. We were at a 10, fam. We were at a 10 for like, that's crazy. Like, so I forgot about the last
for a week.
10. We were at a 10 for about 2 weeks. For about 2 weeks at a full-on 10. Like, I mean, cruise control 10. Like, 10, we went and got some snacks. Like, we was ready for this journey. And then it was like, okay.
Just playing.
Yeah. Just playing? No. Like, it shifted down a little gear because we had a couple times where it's just like, oh, I guess I'm going to be at 1. Then it was like, all right, thank you for the good news. We at 8. And then it was like, nope, not this time. 2. What? And then it was like, even lower. Like, let's, like, oh my God, what are we doing? What is going on right now? Oh my goodness. Like, bruh. And then when we thought we was going to get the car filled back up in July of this year, it was like, nope. You thought.
Absolutely not. I think one of the verses that, like I said, this is the hook, this is the thing that pulled me in, is verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Do you know how down you have to be for your soul to faint?
Oh,
so they're not just talking. Bad, they are literally, they are living what we are talking about. Mm-hmm. That one era, that two era. But the beautiful thing for me about the verses is mm-hmm. that it switches after verse 7. After they talk about how their soul fainted in them. After they talk about how their soul fainted in them, there's a switch. And then you wonder, how did they get to the place where they had the switch? And this was the revelation to me as I studied the lesson. Verse 8. The first thing that they did is they cried out to God.
Yeah.
They cried out to him. And do you know what he did? He delivered them.
Mm-hmm. It's.
He cried. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's verse 6. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And that's what I've been doing consistently. Yeah. It's not something I've kept to myself. I consistently lay my requests out to him, put it before him, not in a churchy way. I'm not walking around lighting candles. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not.
You didn't go to your war room?
I mean, I have, but a lot of times the war ain't happening at home. You know what I'm saying? It's not happening in a
Listen,
situation.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Slow down, preacher. Slow down. Slow down, yo. Like, whoa, hold on, son. You killing them. Like, that was, oh my God. The war ain't at home? Oh my God, that was a word.
A lot of, but no, but for real, a lot of times the war is on the road when you are traveling and doing the work. Do I need to prepare for war? Do I need to have a set apart place in my house for prayer? Absolutely.
Yeah,
but
man.
The fact is, I'm moving in this world and I'm existing in this world, and the battle is in this world as I go, not as I sit. Yeah. So I have found myself having to pray all the time. And that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do anyway. But I'm constantly in prayer. I'm constantly talking to God. I'm constantly asking him, how do I do this? How do you want me to do this? Give me the strength to do this. And it's literally just that. It's not complicated words. I'm not like, oh, thou art the Christ. I'm like, God, help me.
But you know the most important verse, though? Is basically just, this is kind of understanding and setting up the journey for me. The most important verse to me is still verse 9. Because for he satisfies the longing and the hungry soul, he fills with good things, which means a couple things. Your hunger is not going to be satiated. You will be hungry again.
Amen, brother. That's a word.
You will long for the Lord again on this journey. You know, and it's not saying, but the part that's comforting is he will never leave you nor forsake you. So you will always have sustenance and water from the ever flowing, from the forever water that Jesus Christ provides to us by believing in him. But the understanding that when you're reading it, you have to see the fact that it says, because they're hungry souls. It doesn't say I filled them. It just says hungry and longing.
Right.
And I satisfied them. So you will be hungry. You will long for him again.
I'm hungry, I'm longing for him, and it's causing me to be in more communication. Because in six, they cried out and God delivered them. But how did he deliver them? In verse 7, it says, and he led them forth by the right way. And he led them by the right way. And he led them by the right way. When I'm trying to drive, sis is going to pull off. They got their deliverance. They got their breakthrough because they allowed God to lead them. And I can tell you, brother, you know from experience with me, you've known me all your life. I like to be a leader.
Oh, yeah. Hands on the wheel.
Hands on the wheel. And so you can imagine just how hard it is for me when it comes to marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Because what the verse say, I have to be led by God, right? I have to follow my husband as he follows Christ.
Oh, amen. Preach a word for Big Coleman.
I have to follow my husband, not my cousin, Lord. I have to follow my husband.
No, you don't have to do that. Don't do that.
Right. I have to follow my husband as he follows Christ. And then I also have to follow Christ, whatever Christ is telling me to do. Those are tall orders. They're not short orders. But what you said is so true. As long as I keep hungering for him, he's going to satisfy me. God is going to continue to satisfy me. I think that's why these verses, this whole series of verses hit so much for me. You're the songwriter in the family, but I feel like this song right here, it's a banger, man.
It's a banger. It's a all out platinum selling record. You know what I'm saying? This thing might go diamond. It's that kind of classic to me.
Do you think, so the discussion we just had, did that change your number where you are currently? Or are you still, you good?
I would probably say I probably am more at, given the context of everything, I'm probably at I would be at the average, which is like 5.8. So just a little bit less, because I'm understanding more like what it is I'm saying. So in terms of like how the car looks fine. But inside the car, you know, there's a couple lights that are on that I'm kind of, you know, ignoring, trying to get to the right space to quote unquote take care of them, even though that's not how it works. You know, but also being obedient when I'm asked or something, right? So like you being asked, I'm in that space where if it's asked, I'm gonna do it. And I'm open to, you know, when I'm listening to sermons and things of that nature, I'm open to being filled and eating the food that is provided for me.
Amen. Are you only eating on Sundays, brother?
Yes and no. So I'm doing things during the week in terms of my prayer, but I haven't the seeking after in a certain way, right? So it's like, you know, I sit, I pray, we're talking, but I don't think that I am allowing myself to feast from what's being given during the week as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I asked you that question because when I have to teach, I'm gobbling it up. Like I said, my prayer life is on strong. Here lately, I've been doing better about reading scripture and like really turning to God's word to fill me up. But that's why I asked you that question.
Yeah.
A lot of my issue is I'm doing the crying out, but how can he lead me if I'm not receptive to what he has to say? He has a whole book.
Yeah.
Whole book.
Oh, but
66 of them.
But
chapters in that book.
I think that's the other part about, because I don't know, we might have to part two this in terms of, because we never get back to, or did you explain what the person was thinking in the class, or did you have other thoughts on that? Because I'm finna bring it up, because I did have like a little connection of like the other
you can go bring like you can bring it up, because I really don't, I thought we had closed it out, but we might not have, because this is like, and see, that's the thing too, like it's just 9 verses, but it's so rich, it's so deep, and you can get stuck in it. So I was trying to, you like, move us along. Yeah. But this is a great topic.
It's amazing, because it's basically the condition of the Christian. And like, I don't think you can understand that, because again, if you don't know that it's a journey and that you have to do it with him, and that a one doesn't mean you're not a good Christian.
Preach.
Then you're not going to understand. Like, it's not like I have to test things by the word. I have to ask of him the things I need. I have to trust him where I cannot see. I have to do all of these things. And if you think that that's easy because I said yes, then you don't understand what it is to walk with him.
You better preach today. Amen. You know?
But that's why I say that's a lot of the hard part about how we are currently being promoted, if you will. There's a lot of people who don't see us for that. They see us, or you know, the people who have church hurt and people who have all of these different things, where your viewpoint of a person does not make them human or does not make them like you. And that's a fallacy. You know, we are not being of the world doesn't mean you don't experience the world.
Correct. You certainly experience it. I feel like, you know, I thank God for this podcast. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of thoughts racing through my mind today as to what our subject was going to be. And today was a super busy day for me at work. And then I needed to go to the library when I got off work, but I left my library card at home. So I came home to get my library card, and the house was like loud and, you know, like after school energy and all of that. So then I couldn't find my library card, and I'm like, well, I could have just went to the library because they'll take your driver's license. I had some books I needed to pick up for work. And so I go to pick up my books. And do you know who I saw today?
Who?
The lady that wasn't saved that came to the Fill Me Up Brunch and Bible study. And I had already settled on it. I had already felt like, I think that's what we need to do today. But then when I saw her, that was like, to me, confirmation.
Okay.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. Out of everything that's gone on through this day, how random is it for me to see this lady
the most
at
random.
The library?
Well, random by our standards.
But random by our standards, yeah. But certainly to me, it was like a divine, like, yes, when you felt like this is what y'all needed to talk about today, yeah. You were on the right track. Like, this is what you need to dive into. You know, I am, of course, I'll talk to you all the time because you're my brother. But when it comes to like podcasting or getting in front of people and teaching and stuff, my natural tendency is to just be quiet and like sit in the back. I will be a good student. I will answer my teacher's questions. I will be engaged, but putting myself out there is a very uncomfortable thing. But I felt like once I saw her, to me, that was confirmation that I needed to be honest. And this is a real conversation we need to have, because that's the purpose of the podcast, to talk about our walk with Christ and what it looks like. Not just the pretty side, not just the tens, but also our ones and twos and the threes and the fours and the fives and the sixes and the sevens and the whole spectrum of our experience.
But you need all of those things. And that's another portion of like the other portion about this. That I think the last thing I will say is here's the portion that he says, right? Oh, give thanks for he is good, you know, for he redeemed those he has he has redeemed from trouble, right? And gathered in the lands from east to west, north to south. Some wandered in desert wastes. You know, they were hungry and thirsty, then they cried and came, meaning there's more than just one person out here.
Right.
Like, there are seldom things where it's just like you have to do this portion. And a lot of the things where it's like you have to do this is you have to make the choice to accept him into your life. But the rest of it is always he restores all those who believe in him. All.
Amen.
Meaning we are all going through things. We all need to be restored. We all, you know, fall short of the grace and glory of God because of sin and everything else. And it's like you're going to deal with things. You're going to battle a lot of demons. You're going to battle a lot of things because we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against these principalities. And
they are principality-ing.
That is a fact-ing. they come with everything that they can come with. So yeah, I do think this is very timely. I'm very appreciative of it. We've already done a welcome to season five,
my brother.
Five, Lord have mercy. Jesus, five. So welcome five. To season welcome to us being deep in season five with another long episode that I've appreciated, because this was good, man. It literally has reframed my mind to be like, all right, it's time to go get some gas. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Like, I got to fill up the car. Like, I aspire to a 10, and that'll be where I keep it. Like, I don't know if I can, I have to give myself the agency to know that I can get a 10, but anything you give me, Jesus, is enough for me.
Amen. I'm glad you were willing to have this discussion with me today. I think it was much needed.
Yeah.
I was talking to the boys at dinner time and I was telling them, like, I have to change my mindset. I have to change my attitude. The change starts with me, not everybody else. And I think that is a theme that just has followed me today. Like, yeah. It's not everybody else, it's me. And what am I willing to do to get to the place I need to be What am I willing to do to be at the place I need to be at? So thank you, brother, for being open to just dive into this episode and not know what it was about. I think we had a healthy discussion. I hope it was fruitful, not just for us, but for other people that are listening. If your tank is on E, we serve a God that is willing, able, and he's stands ready to fill you up. And my prayer is that you'll be receptive to his filling, and whatever he leads you to do, whatever right way he's leading you, that you would be obedient and trust that he has your best interest in heart. And I,
yeah, man. Oh my goodness, so good. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I cannot hear you. Nope, it switched. You are on your regular mic. Well, while you're doing that, I want to tell people that for the 25-26 season, it's 5 of this podcast. I'm about to be producing, and I got a couple things that, you know, I got to go over with Bible City Girl to make sure it's okay. But I'm about to be producing.
Can you hear me now?
I can. There we go. We got it back.
Okay, great. I'm back. See how the devil is busy, because I was just giving y'all a word. But I believe that God is going to use my life as a testimony so that people can see he is who he says he is. He will do what he said he will do. And I don't have to be defeated, and you don't either. Hey. That's it. That's all.
But just be excited for all the things we have coming up. I'm going to work out a couple things with us on, like, some things that can kind of help us do the work a little bit easier, and get y'all some cool stuff that you can see. Because for those of you that are not, you know, ancient and you only listen to podcasts via audio, maybe you like some visual stuff. I got some cool visual ideas that we're going to work on this year, and I hope that.
Can I tell you something, brother?
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're not visual tonight. Amen.
Oh, no. I'm 100% blessed that we are not visual tonight. This is crazy. I would not.
Bible study girl has her bonnet on. Amen. Yeah, it's been a long day.
I'm in the dark. I haven't even gotten up to Bible turn on the light. Brother. Like,
we're both in our studios. We're sitting in the dark. I have my bonnet on because we are podcasting from two different time zones and trying to find a time that works the best for both of us.
And out of practice, man. Like, even though we did the episode where we were together, we were so excited, y'all. Like, trying to get back on, like, oh, you know, we used to be able to be like, yeah, let's start here. But now we both are kind of have to adhere to school schedules in a much school different way.
Yes. School schedules, new baby that needs things when she wants them.
She was going to be on this episode a little while ago. And it was going to be nuts because she was going to talk like her dad.
Yeah, she is her daddy's baby. She was like, and another thing, TT.
Yeah, this is what happened. But praise the Lord, man. But praise the Lord for
we made it. We made it, brother. I'm thankful that we're getting back on track. Yeah. I'm thankful. There's a blessing coming from this.
Yeah. And I hope that y'all are blessed each and every day that you listen and understand that there are other people that are on this journey with you too. All of our social links are down in the comments for you to click and figure out where you can follow us, the blog. I don't know what the state of the blog is, but it exists. And
there are blogs. There's like over 300 blogs. You can go to BibleStudyGirl.com and read any one of those. There's a randomizer that comes on when you go to the website, so you can just pick a blog to read and enjoy. Comment, let us know what you think about the blogs, your thoughts, your opinions. I don't know exactly, because if you're new to this podcast, back in the day I used to write a new blog every day. 365 days of the year there was a new blog. Then life happened. And I haven't been on that consistent writing journey. So I don't know what that's going to look like. That's something else I'm in prayer about. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I miss writing. And that really is a way for me to express myself.
Yeah.
So,
and I think you are very good. Like, I think the crazy thing is, at some point, I really do see my sister going to seminary at some point in her life. Not even
do
so
you?
Much. I do. Not even so much because I think to be a minister, but I think there's so much in you in terms of the way you teach that I can see you seeking that knowledge and seeking a better way to connect with God's people in a way that's like, okay, God, you taught me this, you in an astute way, or in an even more astute way than you are there, because you are very intelligent in the way that you go about breaking down the Bible. But I think, like, learning different things in terms of how you're already going about it, I just see that, you know, and I hope that y'all, you know, see some of those things in yourself and your journey. Let us know down in the comments where your tank is right now. And, you know, hopefully somebody in these comments, even us, will be praying for you. If you're one, praying for you, if you're a 10, and just everything in between. And just remember, it is not just you and I that preach, but we preach.
And until we meet again, guys, keep preaching.
Peace. Yeah.